Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, well, St. Paul encourages us to think about these things. Those are his words from one of his famous letters to the Philippians. But those words are intended for us, too, in this fast-moving world of crazy news and plenty of terrible natural disasters. Even amidst all the grim headlines, friends, there is beauty and good, and that is where we should let our thoughts dwell. So says St. Paul, and we like to take it one step further and let those qualities inspire our conversation as well. That is what we attempt to do every week on Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, an hour of hopefully good and uplifting conversation that is intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh, sure, you can call me Catholic. Everybody say hi to Jimmy G. He's my engineer and chief fact checker. Now, Jimmy G, do you do any fact checking in your own life? You know, are you one of those people that checks Yelp reviews before you use a service or shop at a store or restaurant or something?
More and more I have lately. Yeah.
Yeah. So you do a little fact checking.
You're
a Facebook guy. So I know you scroll Facebook a lot. Do you ever come across headlines there that you question, that you think, I better get another resource to back up this story?
Yes. Unfortunately, yes. The whole fake news thing. I do come across that frequently.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at all the headlines that Facebook had posted in 2017. There were completely artificial news, and they really do make you stop and think. And sometimes it's, even though it's fake, it kind of doesn't vacate your mind. You know, it takes a little place there. And recently, this week, when I read the headline that came right up on Facebook first about Kate Spade, God rest her soul, the fashion icon, I did think this can't be true. And I'm going to go check my other sources, but unfortunately it was. I think in particular, we need to be really, really careful with Catholic news because that gets at the core of our beliefs. And, you know, false headlines can really begin to chip away and erode your faith. So always check out those Catholic headlines. Check out Catholic News Agency. That's a good resource. National Catholic Register, NCR, also a very good, reliable source for Catholic news. And Zenit, which comes right out of Vatican. So here is a fact that cannot be disputed. Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the gorgeous Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. We are the Diocese of Orange, and we're mighty proud of it. We're coming into the summer season. We always associate summer with leisure, but you know, a lot of people work really hard through these summer months, people especially in the hospitality business. So if you're taking a vacation, you're on a little trip, be very nice to all those people who are serving you and waiting on you because they're not on vacation and they would like to have your polite smile and friendly exchange.
Absolutely.
Hey, I associate summer with summer jobs. That's when we get our first taste of employment. You know, when I turned 16, I got a summer job. How about you, Jimmy G? Do you remember your first summer job?
You know, looking back, I believe one of my first ones was I would deliver newspapers.
You were a paper boy.
I had a paper route. Yes, indeed.
That sounds like something out of Ozzie and Harriet.
The Daily Star Progress was the name was the name of the newspaper.
Is it still in business?
I don't think so.
It doesn't sound like it.
No.
Oh, well, did you ride your bike?
I did.
Oh, see, now you never see that anymore.
Yep.
Because we get, you know, my husband's a newspaper hound. We get all our papers delivered by car.
Right.
They don't toss them very carefully.
And there were some houses that I had to porch it.
Yeah, right up there on the front steps.
Yeah.
Did you go out at the crack of dawn? I mean, that's an early job.
No.
And have to wrap the papers or anything
like
that? No,
this was actually an afternoon.
Oh, an afternoon paper.
Yeah.
That's probably why it's not in business anymore.
I'd have to go around once a month and do my collections, too.
Yeah. And maybe
collecting.
Get a little tip at Christmas time. Well, my first summer job was when I was 16 years old. I worked at Farmer's Market, the iconic landmark destination in Los Angeles. They had lots of food carts and food stands in there. And I worked at a place called McGee's, which was very famous for its corned beef sandwiches.
Oh, nice.
And it was lots and lots of fun. That place was there. It has been there since the 30s, this particular food stand, McGee's. And, you know, I'd help prepare the corned beef sandwiches. And, you know, I enjoyed it. And it was a fun, real center of energy there. But you also see all these families on vacation and you think, oh, I'm not on vacation. And you are. But it's a good experience. And I think all 16-year-olds should go out there and get a job.
You probably saw a lot of touristy goings on there.
Oh, yeah, because it was also right next to the CBS studios there on Fairfax. So you had lots of interesting people, and celebrities themselves came into Farmers Market.
How about
that? It's a very cool destination, still very much alive and living. Okay, so summer is not just for summer jobs. It's also the season for blockbuster movies next to Christmas. These are the big movie release months. And that is why we are going to talk about movies today. We have as our featured guest a very talented and accomplished screenwriter and producer, filmmaker Erin Dooley, who is making great independent films. We'll explore one of her most personal works, A Way to Forgiveness, Healing on the Camino de Santiago. There in this film, she documents her own 550-mile journey on foot toward forgiveness, and she's going to tell us that story.
Wow.
And then we are going to touch base with our good friend Joe Thorderson, a Memphis radio personality who specializes in superhero knowledge. Joe is actually the founder of the Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention, and he loves to analyze and discuss films and superheroes who embody a certain Catholic personality. So Joe Thorderson will give us some great commentary on this summer's blockbuster superheroes. But first up, it is our Call Me Catholic Countdown. Of course, it's our Call Me Catholic Countdown. You can set your clock by the dependability of our Call Me Catholic Countdown at the top of the hour. So here it goes. This week, the countdown will be listing my top five favorite big movies to enjoy as a family this summer. Mm. Now, these are not the ones you're going to find in the theater this season. These are the ones you rent. Because, you know, summer is the time when churches, parks and rec departments, your neighborhoods, all have these kind of summer movie nights where they pick an old movie and then you get your towel and sit out there with your hot chocolate or beverage of choice. And they project a movie onto the side of a wall mm-hmm. or big screen, a sheet, anything. And it's really fun. It's usually something that all generations enjoy, boys and girls, men and women. So I picked movies for the countdown that I think are cross-generational and gender line. So here we go. Let's see if you agree with any of these. My Call Me Catholic Countdown.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
Opening credits right now. Okay.
I'm waiting for Beach Blanket Bingo.
Oh, man, that did not make the list. You can keep that on your list. Here we go. We got a little sound effects for you, too, friends. My number five movie.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Sure, you know it. 1965, The Sound of Music.
Ah, yes.
Yes, that has stood the test of time. And as an enduring testament to this movie's tenacity, it continues to play in theaters, but now they have these Sound of Music sing-alongs that are sort of these fun, kind of kitschy things. Even the Hollywood Bowl, which is our great amphitheater up in Hollywood, does this Sound of Music sing-along every summer where they project kind of an edited version of the movie up on the screen. I mean, 17,000 people attend this in the bowl.
Amazing.
So, for example, when the Nazis come on the screen, they boo, or the Baroness. Mm. And when the Captain Von Trapp kisses Maria for the first time, they have little poppers. They pop it.
Ah.
And when he sings Edelweiss, they all take out their smartphones and they put it on flashlight. It's in the dark and they wave back and forth. So it's lots of fun. It's lots of fun. I have not been to one, but I've heard about them, read about them. My son went to his first one last summer with a good friend, and he just had a ball.
Wow.
Okay, number four. Yeah, that is music we all recognize. Chariots of Fire, 1981. The true story of two British athletes, one Jewish and one Protestant, who competed in the 1924 Olympics. True story. And they both have to face really gritty challenges because of their faiths. So not only is it a great classic Academy Award winning movie, it's a gateway to great conversation with your family and friends. Okay. Now, number three, here we go.
Well, it's Groundhog Day. Again?
Oh, yeah. 1993, Groundhog Day. This is truly absolutely one of my very favorite comedies. Bill Murray, Andy McDowell. It's about a weatherman who goes to cover Punxsutawney Phil's, whether he's going to poke his head out of out of the ground in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. He's a goofy, goofy guy, very narcissistic, and he is forced to relive this day over and over and over again until he gets it right.
Yep.
And he has to learn to sanctify the time that he's been given, or else he's doomed to repeat it. So it's a funny, funny movie, but there's some lessons in there, I think. And you can watch it with your family. It's very family friendly. Okay, number two, an old one.
I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain.
Oh, yeah, Singing in the Rain, 1952. Debbie Reynolds, Donald O'Connor, Gene Kelly. Now, the reason I know, I'm a big sucker for great Hollywood musicals, but the reason I know this is popular across lines, generational lines, is the fact that all of our sons took this film class during the summer, their high school summer, at the local community college in our area. And they took this film class that was known for being really great, the history of cinema, and they got credit for their art credit at high school. But they would always come home the day they viewed Singing in the Rain, which is what the instructor felt was worthy of note as contributing to the history of film. They just loved it. They thought it was funny. They thought it was entertaining. You know, Donald O'Connor doing his make him laugh and the morning, good morning, where they're all dancing on the couch. It's really, really fun. So I bet your kids would enjoy it and you would enjoy watching it again, too. So there you go. Number one. Oh, this is a great movie. It's a mad, 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 mad world. This is a huge cast, an epic cast. Milton Berle, Jerry Lewis, Phil Silvers, Spencer Tracy, Peter Falk, Dorothy Provine. It's got this crazy cast. And of course, the movie is this story of all these people trying to get to a treasure that's buried in Santa Monica, California. And they have to cross the country and it's a race to get who gets there first.
Ah.
And it's hysterical and it's lots of slapstick. But here again, our sons watched it with us when they were like in junior high years and it was an old movie then. And they thought it was fantastic. They just loved it. So give that one a try. That one might have fallen off your radar. You should watch it, Jimmy G. You'd get a kick out of it.
Like many movies, I've seen pieces of these movies.
Yeah, but, yeah. Okay, well, anyway, get out there and watch some really good, wholesome, family-friendly movies this summer, friends. This is the time to do it. Now, our Facebook page makes for very happy, wholesome viewing. Check it out, facebook.com/callmecatholic. We keep you posted on our guests and answer your comments or questions, put up links to help you stay up with our show content. Facebook.com/callmecatholic. Hey, Jimmy G, did you know that we have two new radio stations in our EWTN radio family?
No.
There you go. Yes, sirree. A big howdy to everybody listening on FM 88.1 serving Gillette, Wyoming, and AM 970 serving Austin and Rochester, Minnesota. Huge thanks to Steve and his great team at Real Presence Radio who have worked really hard to bring these great stations into their growing apostolate. So welcome to all our new listeners now hearing us on FM 88.1 in Gillette, Wyoming, and AM 970 in Austin and Rochester, Minnesota. Independent filmmaker Erin Dooley is up next to talk about some of her current projects and a few past ones. Her company is Dash Entertainment, and she has put out some excellent work for your viewing enjoyment. So stick around. You're going to enjoy meeting Erin Dooley. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use Catholic radio to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Be touched by the sacredness of the Most Blessed Sacrament, the resting place of Mother Angelica, plus tour the EWTN campus. Start your Catholic pilgrimage today with EWTN. Call 205-271-2966.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. This commandment enjoins on us young children not only obedience to their parents and even older children, great honor for them, but also gratitude for all of our elders, teachers, employers, and leaders. It also directs citizens to a proper love of our country. So it's a rich commandment. And it also puts great requirements on those who are in those positions to be worthy of the honor that is due them. This commandment is fundamentally given to us by God because without respect for our elders, there can be no teaching, and we cannot hand on the wisdom of previous generations. This commandment is rich and it is for us. The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
The EWTN home video highlight for June is Total Consecration to Jesus Through Mary. Shot on location at Our Lady of Peace Shrine in Santa Clara, California, this EWTN original series shows you how total consecration to Jesus through Mary can overcome evil and bring peace. Order your DVD set at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Hi, kids. Welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I'm your host, Peggy Normanton, and we're inviting summer into the studio today. School's out. June is busting out all over, and that means it's time to go to the movies. Summer seems to be the season we associate with all the blockbusters out there capturing our leisure hours. But it often turns out that those little independent movies are much more satisfying and enriching. Erin Dooley knows something of independent films. She writes original screenplays and produces them, as a matter of fact. She's won quite a few awards for them. Erin has produced 2 feature films, numerous short films, 2 comedy web series, a collaborative web series, and 1 feature documentary. Her company is Dash Entertainment, a respected name in the business. And Erin is with us today to talk movies. Erin Dooley, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, so you must have a movie that you want to add to my top 5 kind of family-friendly movies to watch outside with your friends this year.
Well, I do love musicals, so I love pretty much every iteration of Les Miserables. Super stoked when a couple of years ago, Hugh Jackman, when they did that. And just, the classic Beauty and the Beast animated one. It's funny that you added Mad Men. Because not many people.
Have you seen that one?
Yes. I'm the youngest of 5, so I know things that people of my age, if they have younger siblings, they don't know because I had the sibling 9 years older and any of that. So I do know, and we would get stuck on certain films that we would watch over and over. And that's one that we would watch and just giggle at. And not a lot of it doesn't come up in conversation that often.
I know. And, it's very 60s in style. But I think it came on the television because it was just playing on one of the we didn't go rent it or anything. And so my husband, I remember Jim saying, hey, the kids might enjoy this. Come on, everybody here. We've got a movie to watch tonight. And it just surprised me how absolutely tickled it made our sons.
Yeah.
Who were adolescents at the time, not easily amused.
Yeah.
So your movie is not a funny movie. The documentary that we want to start by talking about is called A Way to Forgiveness. And it's about your trek on the Camino de Santiago. Mm-hmm. So, Erin, I thought this, and I watched it, is such a beautiful film, very deeply personal. So why did you want to make this a film?
Well, when I went, I was going because I wanted to go on the Camino for many years. And then finally, the opportunity came up. Within the span of 9 months, I lost my job. My husband left. And then we had to sell our house. So the main things you have in your life, it all came crashing down. And so I figured, well, I need to go out and do something. And so I decided to go for a very long walk.
And 550 miles, to be exact.
Yeah. Walking helps. You might not have to go for that quite of a long walk. But and so I brought my camera just in case. So the first and foremost was me to try to find some healing and to forgive. And I just recorded as I went. Sort of had limited footage in the end because I really, well, first of all, I had to charge the batteries and just all those logistical things that it wasn't 100% at the forefront of my mind because I was there to experience the moment and I didn't want to have making the movie get in the way of that. So it was pretty much secondary. And then when I returned and I watched the footage, there's a scene in the movie where we're having breakfast and there's a gentleman. He was the volunteer at the albergue. Albergue is where you stay as a pilgrim. And clearly he had something going on. He was saying how he hates being, when somebody does something against him, and he had something going on in his life at that moment. And it seemed like he had never considered forgiveness. Like, not only was there that language barrier, so just that word, I didn't know the Spanish word for it. And so it took him a while to understand what. But then once he understood what we were talking about, he didn't even seem to think that that would be an option for him. And at the end of our conversation, he says that he would think about it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, if this 20-minute conversation of us talking about forgiveness can get this guy to open his mind and think about something he's never thought about before, I said, well, maybe God wants to use this for good. Mm-hmm. He says that, he'll take the bad things and turn them into good. And so I thought, well, if there's other people that could be helped by this, then why not?
Well, it's very moving. I actually thought you must have had a companion photograph filming because it doesn't look like you've set something up and just, stood on the other side of the camera. It really has great cinematic quality.
Oh, thank you.
But you're also very vulnerable in this. You document some really kind of wrenching moments along the journey where you are struggling with forgiveness and you just feel like, I'm never going to get there.
Yeah.
So wasn't that difficult to watch? I mean, because you get the feeling at the end of the movie, you've arrived at it. You've arrived at that piece. So revisiting all that footage, did that sort of stir it back up again?
It's funny because even now when I tour with it and I watch it, and now it's been 3 years, I'm able to look at myself like a character in a movie. And honestly, part of it is because in the film, I shaved my head right before I left, and now I have about a foot longer of hair. And so I can physically, I look like such a different person. Oh, yeah. And emotionally, I am so far from that, that I really, even when I watch, I'm like, oh, that poor woman. And I was like, oh, wait, that poor woman is me 3 years ago.
I know
ago.
That woman. She seems familiar to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so
beautiful.
So I'm happy to be able to separate that. But
that you kind of moved on. You know, the Camino fascinates me. I think it was maybe 2003 when The Way came out, the Martin Sheen, Emilio.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit later, but yeah, somewhere in the mid. Yeah.
And it really just seemed to fascinate the public.
Yeah.
And is that where you became introduced to The Way?
I knew of The Way previous to that. There is an author, a Brazilian author named Paulo Coelho, and I might be mispronouncing his last name. He wrote a book called The Pilgrimage. And so I had heard about that from that book and got used to it. And so that had stirred up this, planted the seed, I suppose, originally. And then when The Way came out, I did suggest, I wanted to go still do that. And so I suggested to go see the film with my husband at the time. Because you don't just talk someone into going on a 500-mile walk. You know, it's not just a regular vacation. So I had suggested for us to see if he had any interest to do it. And but it does. It takes 35 days to do this. So you can't just very easily pack up and go over there. And so he wasn't able to ever get that amount of time off of work. But that, and it is interesting because when you meet people on the Camino.
And you do meet people on the Camino. That's part of the experience.
Yeah,
right?
You meet people all the time. I went alone, but yeah, I never felt alone unless I wanted to. But each country seems to have that one piece of art, be it a book, be it a movie, that really invigorated the citizens of that country to come to it. For the Americans, it is The Way.
It was The Way, yeah. And it's interesting when you hear Martin Sheen talking about it, it was a journey for them too. I mean, I thought the origin of it was kind of fascinating that he took his grandson on The Way, and I think they drove The Way, and during that trip, he met a woman and married her. So his father, who was Emilio Estevez, says, I lost something on the way, which is my son to a woman. I mean, he's very happily married, but, but so he kind of wanted to document that sense of loss. It seems like people don't just approach this like they go to Yosemite or they go on another kind of a journey. Mm-hmm. They bring something to it that they want resolved or they're seeking something out of it.
Yeah, and sometimes they aren't even aware. They just have that angst or whatever in themselves, and they can't even sometimes quite pinpoint it until they're there. And then you realize what the Camino is going to give you. But there are some people who are there just for sport. There was this guy from Ireland, and this was towards the end, and we had been walking at that point for about 28 to 30 days. And this guy just comes running up looking bright eyed and bushy tailed. And we were like, oh, this guy just started. Because there's a point where you, if you want to get the certificate, you have to start in Syria.
Yeah.
And so we assumed
not
this
everybody
is where,
does the 550 miles, Aaron.
So we assumed, oh, this was one of those guys. And we end up at the same albergue as him. No, he started where we started 2 weeks after we started. He was just training for a mountain marathon. And he figured, oh, I'll just run the Camino. And we're all like, are you kidding me? And so it was all a little lesson in, for us to see, you know, about judging other people and thinking you know their story just by looking at them.
Well, you may not have a story when you come to the Camino, but when you meet all these people, and you can't help but meet people because you're staying overnight along the way, your story is impacted by them. You know, I mean, I'm sure that somehow your story impacted people along the way. So, Aaron, there were places that you, there were little milestones along the way that you set goals for yourself. So it seems like the Camino actually talked to you. It said, okay, at this point, there's a station for healing.
Yeah.
There's a station for forgiving.
And
you kind of had your goals set along the way.
Yeah, I had made those beforehand. And even just in where I was going to stay, my family was a little bit worried about me traveling alone. And so I had told them ahead of time, I set a whole spreadsheet, said, this is where I'm going to stay every night.
Spreadsheet.
Yeah, I heart Excel. but so that they would know where I was every night. And I kept a blog. And after the fourth day, I said, forget that. I will tell you, I'll email you every day to let you know what city I'm in. But what I thought was going to happen is not happening.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit happened with those milestone moments. What I had set out, I still got to those places, of course, because they're right along the way. But the experience that I had was different than what I thought. Mm. Like the Hill of Forgiveness, that's a week in. And it's like, if you're trying to achieve forgiveness, a week is early. I mean, I only gave myself 40 days, which also is a very short window of time. But there is then a place where there's the big iron cross where people, you carry a rock from your home country and you leave it. So that was the pinnacle moment for me. And then after that, as I say in the movie, then it was sort of a party. Because that weight, you know, it was a tiny little rock, but...
But it represents the weight you're carrying.
Yeah. And it really did. I don't know if you've had experiences where you really can physically feel that weight lifted and your shoulders just go up and you're like, wow, like, you know, you don't realize something is physically manifesting until the end.
But you also did get rid of a little weight in your backpack.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure some people get a bigger rock.
Yeah.
They start carving that rock down, you know, day two, day three.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that struck me, Aaron, the most was how... Because up until you got to that point, you didn't think you could do it.
Yeah.
You didn't think it wasn't so much, I mean, it was arduous physically, but you didn't think you would ever get to be able to that place where you said, yes, I am committed to forgiveness. And it made me realize how unimportant our emotions are compared to our commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like love, commitment is the core of love, you know, because there are times when you're not going to feel like loving.
Yeah.
And if you unite that with God's mercy, God's strength, he carries you for that point beyond where you think you can go.
Yeah, definitely. The night before, I had no idea what it was going to happen.
Right,
even walking up, I was like, well, this is it. And writing. So I wrote every single thing that I was forgiving. And as I set the pen to paper, I was going to say, I will forgive. I still wasn't even there. But then my pen just started writing, I forgive X, I forgive Y.
Yeah.
And it really was just this grace-filled moment where the Spirit was right there in it. And forgiveness is a journey, but it also is this moment. And it really... is just a beautiful moment, and it really is that commitment, and it's that decision.
It's the will. It's willing
for sure.
And then letting God, getting the grace to just sort of go with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's an act of the will.
Because he does carry you, I mean, beyond where we think we are able to carry.
Yeah, especially for something like forgiveness, which is what he wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when I give talks about this, anytime you are asking God to bless you with something that is in line with his will, then of course he's going to get you there because you're desiring where he wants you to be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll get you there. It's just sometimes you have to be careful what you pray for. They say be careful what you wish for, but
so
I say be careful
true.
What you pray for because
yeah.
I prayed to understand forgiveness and I do now, but I had to go through a very difficult time.
35 days, 550 miles. You know, this is all documented in her really moving documentary, A Way to Forgiveness, A Walk Along the Camino. And it's beautiful. Screenwriter and filmmaker Aaron Dooley is going to stay with us so we can continue our dialogue about movie making. We're going to find out about some of her other projects through her company, Dash Entertainment. So lots more good conversation coming up. Stay with us, won't you? I am Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
We do our best to keep you, well, connected to all the events happening in our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith from Rome to back home here in the U.S. and around the globe. It's also our goal to help each and every listener like you take this beautiful faith of ours out into the public square with great ideas on making a difference through engaging the culture.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, Monday morning, 9 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Jesus told a parable about workers in a field. Some started at sunrise, some started at the end of the day. And when they lined up for their pay before heading home, everyone got paid the same amount. Of course, the guys who showed up at sunrise complained. Why do we get the same pay as the guys who showed up at the end? And the boss said in reply, if I'm going to be generous, why are you complaining about that? We love justice. We love our pay. We love to demand our pound of flesh if someone's wronged us. We love getting what's coming to us. And you know what? That's fine. There's something about natural law that makes us want what seems the most fair. But there's something better than fair. It's mercy. It's giving to people who don't deserve. It's lending to people who could never pay us back. It's forgiving even when someone couldn't possibly earn it. That's how God is toward us. It's how he calls us to be toward each other. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I went to Las Vegas years and years ago for one of these cable shows. And I was shocked to see all these old ladies in their 70s and 80s getting off that plane, running for a slot machine. You don't have a chance to win. They're all fixed. I know, my uncle used to have slot machines.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Hello there. Happy nearly summer, everybody. It is June. If you are born in June, then the rose and the honeysuckle are your birth flowers. I am Peggy Normanton, your host for Call Me Catholic, and we don't see much honeysuckle in our region. But jasmine, my goodness, the jasmine is aflame. Well, June is known for many things, not the least of which is the fact that it ushers in all the big blockbuster movies earmarked for summer viewing. That's why we're talking about movies today with a movie person. Aaron Dooley is the owner and founder of Dash Entertainment, an independent film company that has produced several feature films, a documentary, a web series, and a number of shorts. Aaron, you have even got an original Christian-themed musical in your collective work called Broken and Beautiful. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so that was a film that I made. I used to live in the suburbs of Chicago, so I filmed it there. And it was the first film that I made.
Did you write the music?
I did not. I use contemporary Christian music, okay. So that would play on any contemporary station. So it has like an Amy Grant song. It has Third Day, 10th Avenue. A lot of, if you listen to Christian music,
they would be popular.
And then I picked songs that spoke to me. I knew the subjects that I wanted to deal with. So it tells the story of people. They all attend the same church and they're all dealing with different struggles and they all know each other. So their storylines kind of interweave. And then it's how people of faith deal with struggles. And as I always joke, when I tell people you deal with struggles by singing about it. And so,
well, they do in the 40s. That's what they did.
Yes.
You like musicals too. Like
yes,
me.
Exactly.
You know, so they do say that singing actually, it makes you feel better once you sing. It's just kind of a form of expression, a form of outlet. Well, that's really, that sounds like a fun project. Do you have a certain eye, a certain style or signature that you want to bring to movies and to the screen?
I guess it would be more the voice, really just that, you know, a heart. I think that there's a lot of great movies there that just entertain and there's a need for that. When I'm home from work after a long day, definitely I just want to be entertained. But for me, I want to bring hope to people. Not everything I do is specifically Catholic or specifically Christian, but it definitely has that worldview because I am raised Catholic.
Yeah.
And that's how I see the world. And I see people as inherently good. And I want to bring people hope. So no matter what it is that I'm doing, I try to infuse it with that. So it's more the voice and the stories that I try to tell as opposed to like the cinematography, like the way something would look. It's more the spirit of what I do.
Do you have a background in film educationally?
I have a degree in marketing.
Oh, okay.
So I have.
So you can market films.
Hopefully.
So you have another series that I think sounds very compelling and it certainly is compatible with your A Way to Forgiveness movie. It's called Wander on Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Let's explore that series.
Yeah, I was going to Ireland last spring when people learned I was going to be then walking 85 miles through the mountains. They have a short trail called the Wicklow Way through the Wicklow Mountains.
Uh-huh.
And so I was going to be doing that walk. And people naturally like, oh, are you going to make another movie? And I was like, oh, I don't know that I want to do that. And so I thought about what I wanted to do. And I invited people to walk wherever they were the same 7 days that I was going to be walking. And we all talked about the same topics. And then when I got home, they all sent me their footage.
Oh.
And I put together, it ended up being 4 episodes. And then people were interested. So I do it again now. I hike wherever I can around the LA area. And I just think of a topic of the day, like just release the episode on strengths and weaknesses today. Just different topics. And people say it's like a TED Talk in nature.
Which is excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I did watch one of them, but I didn't realize that everybody was kind of doing it at the same time. And then you collaborated after, contributed afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think hiking or nature walks, being surrounded by nature, stimulates contemplation and sort of self-scrutiny and awareness of truths and importance?
Yeah, I think especially in our culture today where we have, I think the statistic is we make like 20,000 decisions a day from, am I going to hit snooze or not? Am I going to, you know, which
that
thing am I going to
wear? That is a daunting figure.
Yeah,
I don't think I want to get up.
It's absurd,
that, the
amount of decisions when you really go drill down to the tiny decisions. And on the Camino, I'd say I probably made 5 decisions a day. Like, which, and then none of them are really big decisions. Like, which of the 2 outfits that I have in my backpack am I going to wear? Probably the clean one I didn't wear yesterday. So that's kind of a non-decision. And so when you clear your mind of making these decisions, then you are able to think about things that are more important. And just getting away from nature and disconnecting from people, it gets you in a different place. And, you know, anytime you get out of your comfort zone and just into a different surrounding, you're going to think differently. And even if you go with people, if you aren't walking in solitude, you have different conversations. This was in one of the episodes on connection. I said that if we were just to go to coffee, we would have one type of discussion. But if we went and met that same day instead and went for a hike, we probably get a little bit deeper into things. And I don't know what it is about being in nature, if it's...
Couldn't it be that that is God's creation and we are in an organic relationship with God through, you know, by surrounding ourselves with His creation rather than when we're in a man-made world?
Yeah, and just allowing that Spirit to move, and that, you know, if the Holy Spirit, as we think about the Trinity, is what that love that connects the Father and the Son, then same too how the Spirit is that love that would connect all of us together. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting way to think about
it. Well, and I think it's so great to think of families out there hiking. And a friend of my son's was hiking, and she passed this guy on the trail. She had a backpack on, and she thought, wow, that looked like Tom Hanks. Well, that was Tom Hanks. So she turned around and she kind of followed him, and she said, are you Tom Hanks? And they got in this conversation, and he was out backpacking with his son.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know why it's nice to think of somebody who lives this kind of star-studded celebrity life as taking the time and recognizing the value of going out and taking some time completely packing into nature with your son.
Yeah.
Because I do think within families, it's a beautiful thing to do, too, because you're really conversing more than you are around the dinner table, even.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's neat. Well, do you like the documentary format more than you like creating, you know, fictional sort of scenarios?
I like both. Creating the documentary helped me, especially with A Way to Forgiveness, where I was so vulnerable, and people come up to me after, you know, if I have a screening, and they pour their heart out to me because I just poured my heart out to them. And it's really this beautiful connection. And I realized how, you know, you really can go deep with characters. So when I write a character now, you know, making up a character, to really go deep and to have that emotion, because that's what's going to draw that emotional response. You know, even if I am creating a character, something is probably going to be from my life, whether it's a word or a phrase or a situation. So just because it's made up, it's still a real human experience that somebody in the audience might be experiencing, and that can be of a help to them. So it helped me, just to be more emotional in what I write and to really tap into those emotions when I realized how it was done with the film. Because what had happened through the film, I mean, it all happened to me. It's as if it was scripted to have, you know, obstacle after obstacle in A Way to Forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, so, you lost your backpack.
Right, my backpack
wasn't delivered.
Was gone. I mean, just all
of
these
you couldn't
things.
Script that stuff and have it as believable as when you experienced it. What are the biggest challenges in filmmaking?
I think part of it is just, sadly, it's always, you know, the money, because it's great that I can create anything. I can just take my cell phone out with Wander on Purpose. I don't even bring my camera anymore because my phone, it takes really
Wander
beautiful.
Wander on Purpose, it sounded like that was an app, but it's Wander on Purpose is your series.
So when I film to have my segments for my series Wander on Purpose, I just take my cell phone instead of taking my camera anymore because it takes just as great quality.
Is that what you were doing with A Way to Forgiveness?
Because that was a GoPro.
I was going to say, that seemed much more
and so that is very high quality. But the rest of it, I would just set up the camera and walk back and forth. And that's why there was not as much footage, because I didn't want to keep walking that much extra.
So how do you, you live in Los Angeles, so, and you are part of the greater entertainment industry. How do you feel you fit in with your vision and with your agenda and your ideas and your Catholicity?
Well, what I am happy to find here, that now that I moved here, which I think might people that don't live in LA might not realize, is how many really strong Christians, really strong Catholics there are in entertainment.
Sure.
And they really want to do some really great work, whether or not it's labeled a Christian film or not. And I think between Catholics and Protestants, Catholics are more happy to kind of do what had been done. You know, you look back at all their films, they're not Catholic films.
Martin Sheen's The Way is a perfect example of that. You know, it's not a Catholic film. It's not even a religious film.
Yeah.
And yet Catholics can find the themes in there.
Yeah, it just has the moral in it. Mm-hmm. And it's a good film. And I think Catholics, like, that's just from all of history. If you just look at the films that we make, that's infused in it. Whereas now that there's this whole genre, which really isn't a genre because there's all those regular genres, but if it mentions Jesus, then it's a Christian film. And I think perhaps Protestants might have to view it in a certain way and have to kind of beat people over the head a little bit, where to me, I don't want to preach to the choir. Like, they're happy. They're already in the church. I want to witness people that
are
outside
of the
church.
And you don't want to lead the audience. You know, you want to let the audience arrive at the conclusion.
Right, yeah. It's still
entertainment.
Discover
it themselves, but with it still being entertainment. I mean, I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said, we don't need more Christian writers. We need writers who are Christian.
Mm.
So I think that when you come with the deep religious conviction that we understand as Catholics, you know, there's so many metaphors out there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be didactic in our in our approach to art. I mean, it is. It's art, after all.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of beauty. And I mean, that's
a lot of beauty. And, you know, the Catholic faith truly has so much beautiful metaphorical languages in it and imagery, even within our own traditions.
Yeah.
So, Erin Dooley, how can our listeners discover your work and enjoy some of these films we've discussed today?
Yeah. Everything is linked on my website, dash entertainmentllc.com, and it has links to watch Way to Forgiveness, Broken and Beautiful, Wander on Purpose,
lots
any of those.
Good work.
Yeah,
and also all the new things that you could be working on.
Yeah.
And maybe you can find out a way if you'd like to participate in her Wander on Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've got
there's Twitter. If you on all the social media, just put Wander on Purpose, and it's on all the social media.
Well, it's a great name, Wander on Purpose. That's a good one. So, Erin, thank you so much for spending time with us. Thank you for making such a positive impact on the entertainment industry.
Thank you.
Wish you continued success in your field, and we'll look for the name Erin Dooley and Dash Entertainment on lots of credits, movie credits in the coming months and years.
Thank you.
God bless you, and thank you so much.
Thanks.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to have a very quick conversation with our friend Joe Thorderson. He's the preeminent expert on superhero movies and their Catholic themes, and he's going to tell us what he thinks is worthy of note in the latest releases from Hollywood. So, see, we've still got lots of good material to cover. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
What's up, EWTN family? Save the date, Saturday, November 3rd, Jacksonville, Florida. Join me for the EWTN Family Celebration. I'll be there with all your favorite EWTN personalities and amazing people from all around the country. I'll see you there.
Don't miss the EWTN Family Celebration coming to Jacksonville, Florida, Saturday, November 3rd. Join us at the Prime Osborne Convention Center for this free event. For details, go to EWTN.com/Family Celebration.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, hi there, friends. Hope you have your popcorn and extra large boxes of Junior Mints or Dots. Dots are good on hand because we are digging into the movie season for the summer. Is there any good stuff out there? Well, I am your host, Peggy Normandin, and today on Call Me Catholic, we've brought in one of our movie experts to give you some advice. Joe Thorderson is a Memphis radio personality. He is founder of the Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention and also an expert on superheroes in the movies and their secret Catholic construct, kind of. Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Peggy, you got to stop calling me an expert. I'm going to get hammered by my fellow geeks. You're always building me up more than I need to, but it's going good, and I'm always glad to be on your show. So.
You are my gold standard.
Okay. Well, hey, Peggy, I was remiss. Last time I was on your show, we were actually talking specifically about Catholic superheroes, and I left out the most famous one, which is Captain America, because in the comics, he is actually Catholic. And, of course, he's such a noble and good person, and I don't know how I left it out of our conversations. I wanted to lead off with that.
Well, how do they identify him as Catholic in this series? He's a Marvel guy, right? He's a Marvel hero?
Yeah, they don't showcase it so much in the movies, but it is well known. Everybody just knows Cap's a Catholic, you know, and he's a very good guy. You know, he doesn't know how swearing. He's a real noble and virtuous person. So that's very cool.
And we might see him at Mass on Sunday.
You might, you know, go to Brooklyn. You never know.
Okay. I know we need to touch on the Black Panther because he's one of the more recent new ones. And he really made a big, big hit at least with the movie audiences. So let's go with your checklist, but let's make sure we include the Black Panther in there, Joe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Black Panther came out in February, which is, the summer blockbuster to me seems like it's expanded where basically they start off in February. So the whole year.
That's true.
And Black Panther came out. And honestly, the anticipation for this movie, there was a sense because of the content and things like that, that it could be polarizing or it could be something that would turn people off. Well, it turned out to be about the biggest movie, really, even beyond superhero movies. It's my favorite superhero movie now, and it's really...
Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. He's a fascinating character anyway because he's a king in Wakanda, which is an African, kind of a hidden African country.
Fictional, sort of utopian, right? I mean, it's sort of a perfect community?
Well, sort of. It's like, yeah, they have this great technology which allows them to really, you know, live very comfortably, but also to do really medical cures and just all sorts of great advancements. But the thing about it was, the villain in this movie you actually really sympathize with, and you can understand his purpose, but he's just too extreme. He's talking about murder and things like that. But the thing is, at the end of this movie, this has such a uniting message. King T'Challa, in fact, at the very end thing after the credits, practically quotes Pope John the 23rd to a T, where he, if you remember the quote, I don't have it exactly, but it's something like, there's much more that unites us than divides us. And it was basically calling for unity. And
it's, but we build bridges.
People.
The wise build bridges while the foolish build barriers.
Yeah. And it's just such a great quote. And you leave that movie feeling like you just feel great about humanity, and you feel really connected with everybody. And I thought they handled everything in it really well. So I can't recommend it enough. It's an excellent movie.
And good triumphs in the end.
Absolutely. Yeah. And mercy. There's mercy. There's mercy, redemption, yeah. Everything.
Well, this superhero, King T'Challa, is he folded into the new Avengers then?
Well, that's next on my list. Yeah, of course. So the next, there's other movies that came out, but of course, you know, my focus is going to be superheroes or science fiction. And so Avengers Infinity War came out. And I'm going to be real honest, Peggy, I was not excited about this movie. And the only reason was because they had like, I don't know, 40 characters in this movie. And to be honest, in the comics, I never liked the villain Thanos, which is the villain in this movie. They completely turned me around. This movie is outstanding as well. I was pleasantly surprised.
Oh, so you weren't, when you say you weren't excited about it, in anticipating it, you weren't excited about it.
Right.
Okay.
Right. When it's, because, you know, on our show, we have to talk about all the stuff. And anytime any news breaks, like if there's a costume design that comes out or anything, we're talking about it. And leading up to the movie, I was just not feeling it. I was like, well, you know, it seems like a stunt to me. But the writing and everything, and I would argue, I'd be curious what other listeners think, but I could argue there's a pro-life message in this movie.
Okay. How do you see that? I'm going to be honest, I have not seen that one.
Without giving spoilers, well, that's the problem. It's hard to tell you without giving spoilers.
Oh, spoiler. Okay.
Basically, Thanos, put it this way, Thanos thinks in his own mind he is actually the greatest hero in the universe, and his solution to solving the problems in the universe is to wipe out half of all living beings in the universe.
Well,
so put it that way. And just make them disappear in an instant, and then suddenly we'll have all sorts of resources and all sorts of, you know, land and everything to spread out on.
I think Hitler must have inspired him then.
Exactly. So, but he's a curiously compelling character, but I don't want to give you any more, but
okay.
I would say you might see a pro-life message in that movie, somebody like you.
Okay, you know? Well, it's still out
and
there in the theaters.
It's really good.
So it's good to look for those things.
Yeah.
It's good to have a little little cheat sheet to say, I'm going to look for this theme in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So, I'm going to skip one for just a second
sure.
to say that I am actually looking forward to Jurassic World, which is, gosh, I lost count. I don't know if it's the fourth Jurassic Park movie. Those movies are fun to watch, and there's all sorts of interesting things to look at, but I've never found the stories all that compelling, but this one seems to me that there's going to be a little more depth to it. So I'm actually looking forward to that. So that comes out in a couple weeks. But we have to talk about Star Wars, Peggy.
Yeah, we do.
Dark times in the fandom.
Well, they've had two Star Wars movies come out this year, right?
Well,
or one last year, and then
one came out at Christmas.
Right. Okay.
As well. Yeah.
Yes.
Within 5 months of each other.
So you had The Last Jedi, and then Solo, A Star Wars Story. Do you see them taking a left curve here where they're going where they shouldn't go with these stories now?
Yeah, it's really, I think I might have mentioned it last time we were on the air. I want to be really fair with all this because I like The Force Awakens, which came out in 2015, and I loved Rogue One. I think Rogue One was one of my favorite Star Wars movies there is, and I think it's got great messaging, great acting. I think it's outstanding. But in the Last Jedi, the director, Rian Johnson, had sort of this operating principle throughout the movie, and he called it subverting expectations, where you might expect one thing, and he's going to give you something else. And he does it throughout the entire movie, which starts to kind of wear you out after a while. But also, they, in my opinion, completely ruin the character of Luke Skywalker. Because
deconstruct him, kind of.
Well, if you remember, I'm spoilers here, but this movie's 30 years old. But if you remember the last in the Return of the Jedi, the Return of the Jedi, in my opinion, is one of the greatest redemption movies ever. It's very Christian in its thinking and everything. But Luke Skywalker basically wants to save his father, Darth Vader, who is one of the most evil, dictators in the galaxy. And he does it, and he's courageous, he's optimistic, he's heroic. And this Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi was basically telling everybody to get off his lawn, and he was whining and didn't do anything. And it was awful, and fans reacted. And a lot of the hype leading into Solo, there was actually people that are like, well, I'm kind of done with Star Wars until they fix some of this stuff.
Well, and didn't they didn't some of the director staff kind of drop out of it too? Isn't that when Ron Howard stepped in?
Well, they didn't drop out. They fired the two directors who were, they were going for a much more comedic role. The two directors directed the Lego movie, which was hilarious. I don't know if you saw it. It's a great movie. But I think they claimed they were trying to go too comedic or something, whatever. There was a falling out, but the other thing is they started to insert things that really have nothing to do with Star Wars. They started to insert agendas that are, like Lando Calrissian's dating habits, let's just say, and things like that, which were very kind of unsavory. And I'm like, this really doesn't have anything to do with Star Wars or a kids movie or anything family friendly. And so Solo is actually bombing at the box office, which is unheard of for a Star Wars movie.
Well, doesn't that happen when you take, in TV, I think they call it jumping the shark, which is when Happy Days was on too long and they had Fonzie going into this sort of exaggerated version of himself. Sometimes a series has to know when to stop. But do you think they're just building the way to introduce this new trilogy that's going to come out eventually?
I think jumping the shark is more along the lines of when you're out of ideas and you're just going to try anything. But Star Wars is such a rich universe, you're never going to run out of material. So I feel like this was just somebody had a grudge against the character of Luke Skywalker of like, this, I don't know what it was, but they kind of threw him under the bus. I hate to say it. So it's interesting.
So you
crack
me.
I think history is going to be written about this period. I know it sounds crazy, but this is really unusual, this division in Star Wars fandom.
So it's gotten very cynical. It's gotten really cynical. But I think sometimes when they're trying too hard, it's like, okay, where can we take this? How can we surprise our viewership? Whereas people don't want to be that surprised. They just want to continue to be enriched.
Well, exactly. Peggy, you and I are both big baseball fans.
Rightio.
One of the things we talk about in baseball is the fact that you can go to a baseball game with a 90-year-old or a 3-year-old, and it's a wholesome activity, and it unites. You could be of any religious belief or any age, and it unites people. And Star Wars used to be that way. It used to be an event and an institution that united people, and it shouldn't divide people. And that's why people are passionate and get upset, because those kind of institutions are rare in our culture.
And they're sort of sacred.
Well, you should protect them. I mean, those are good quality things in culture, so don't destroy them. So.
I got to ask you about The Incredibles. What do you think about them?
You and I are exactly on the same list. Well, it only took, 15 years to get a sequel to this, but I'm looking forward to it. I think that movie was outstanding.
Yeah, I loved it,
really fun.
I loved it. And they haven't aged a bit, I don't think.
No, it doesn't look like it. But those Pixar movies tend to be really good. I think I told you before that movie Inside Out is one of my top 10 favorite movies. I just think it's really interesting. But I think The Incredibles is going to do very well. I mean, it's every age. I think it you don't have to just be a kid to like that movie.
It's great. But now I'm going to throw you a curveball, because I bet you don't have this one on your list. But he is a hero, and there's a movie about him coming out this summer. What do you think about the documentary on Mr. Rogers?
Oh, I did know about that, but I didn't know it was released this summer. Is it going to be in theaters too, or is it going straight to?
No, I think it's definitely going to be in. This is kind of a summer of documentaries. There's a couple of Judge Ginsburg and Pope Francis, and I believe Mr. Rogers documentary is coming out this month.
Okay,
Jimmy G is our fact checker. Jimmy G, is that
Jimmy
right?
G, get on it, man. Yeah.
I'm feverishly looking it up right now.
What I think's fascinating about him that a lot of people don't realize is the fact that he was he was tough in the war. Like I guess he was a World War II veteran or Korean War. I don't remember, but he was a very skilled marksman and really served his country well, but he was tough. Like, and then he just became this icon. And, of course, everybody loves Mr. Rogers. I never heard any. I'm hoping we're not going to learn anything about him we don't want to know.
No.
He's sort of good person.
He cannot be touched. He cannot be touched. Hey, Joe
exactly.
Thordeson, I wish you could be my neighbor. Would you be my neighbor?
I'll be there. Your weather is nicer than what I got out here. So
in Memphis? Okay.
Hey, Peggy, real quick, too, make sure you check out Ant-Man and the Wasp. And I'm going to be checking out Ocean's 8. I think that might
really?
Be fun. Really?
You think so? The women's version?
I don't know. The other ones were fun. And they were kind of, I mean, as long as they don't get preachy or some agenda, they just let me have fun and yeah. watch them steal stuff. That's fine. But hey, Peggy, I was also remiss too. I just started on Twitter. I'm like a Twitter idiot. I've got like less than 100 people, but I think it's a lot of fun, and I would love to connect with some Catholics out there. So
okay.
if somebody wants to follow me at Geek Tank Radio J1. And because I like connecting conversations with superheroes and my faith, you know, okay. which is always fun to do. And
okay, so let's repeat that, Joe. Repeat that.
People.
It's Geek, G-E-E-K, Geek Tank Radio, which is your radio show. And then what were the initials after that?
Just J1. So
Geek and you can, Tank Radio you J1.
And you can email me at geektankradio@gmail.com. And you'll find us. If you want to listen to Geek Tank Radio, just Google it. And there's all sorts of ways to hear us.
It's really fun. Joe, it's always really good to talk to you. You are so much fun. You make me laugh. You're very insightful. You have great input about our superheroes on the silver screen and about lots of other movies, too. So I hope you enjoy all your movies this summer, Joe.
Let's touch base after the summer and see how we did as far as our agreement on movies.
Okay.
And I really want your thoughts on Black Panther, so check that out.
Okay. Yeah, I will.
Hey, you're awesome.
You are so much fun, Joe. Thanks a lot. We'll have you back again really soon. And you listeners, you enjoy the beginnings of this summer season and all the great movies out there that Joe has told you to go out and see. There's lots of great programming ahead, actually, on EWTN Radio today. Barbara McGuigan is coming up next with 2 hours of The Good Fight. But mostly, we want you to tune in again next week, same day, same time, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.